At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
My two biggest critiques of the roster construction that the 49ers have kind of gone with is neglecting re-emphasizing youth on the offensive line. The only team in the NFL to not draft an offensive tackle or a center in the past three consecutive drafts. Haven't touched one. The only team in the NFL. And then more short-sighted, lack of veteran depth across the roster. Those are the two biggest, like, my two biggest issues. Now, the nuanced take of that is we have Andre Dillard, offensive tackle, coming in at number 52, that I absolutely love this signing. The 49ers recognize they needed veteran depth at the offensive tackle position. They go out and they kind of tease a signing with DJ Humphreys, which falls apart and he goes to a division rival and he's going to probably be a starter there. And then they come back with this Andre Dillard signing and nobody knows that the other signing fell through. And it's like, wow, they're going after two veteran tackles. That's awesome. Well, the Andre Dillard signing has been signed and finalized and all those things. So I like that. I really, really do like Andre Dillard, former first round pick. We'll detail his journey so far in the NFL. But I do. I really, this is one of the signings that I like a lot. Now, even within this, the nuance on top of nuance, you haven't seen him. He gets signed, doesn't show up to camp, doesn't show up to minicamp, OTAs, any of those things, and beat writers haven't even seen him. In the building, they haven't seen him. And he signed his contract, so that's good, but it's like, all right, we finally got some veteran depth. Man, could have got some work because, you know, Trent Williams doesn't get playing time in OTAs and minicamp. He'll do some indie work, but that's about it. So the two tackles that have been getting reps has been Spencer Burford at left tackle and Austin Pleasance backing up Colton McKivitz at right tackle. Like, would have been nice for Andre Dillard to get out there, learn some of those things, but he's a vet. And so it's kind of a weird situation. He's jersey number 65, as well as we know, and he's a big dude. Pedigree is there. 6'5", 315, 33.5-inch arms. He's 29 years old. And athletic specimen, one of the most athletic offensive linemen to come out of the draft in the past decade. Listen to these numbers. 4.940, that's top 94% of offensive linemen. His 20-yard shuttle, which is a Chris Forster mainstay, ran a 4.4. That's top 98 percentile. 10-yard split, 169. That is off the charts incredible. Three cones, 7.44, top 86 percentile. Vertical, 30-inch jump. Broad jump 9-10, that's top 98th percentile, and 24 bench press reps. Like, this guy, I mean, he is as fluid an athlete. I remember the combine performance, and this is tells you how sick I am. The on-field workout, just the shuffle drills, the mirror drill, the pull, pin and pull drill. Like, he looks as fluid as a tackle could ever look. The problem was, and I have to kind of step back here for a second, one of my favorite football coaches, and maybe human beings ever in the history of football, is Mike Leach. I love him. I absolutely love that man. Never coached for Texas, but, like, he's the pirate, the best. Texas Tech, Washington State, you know, goes down to Mississippi, all that kind of, like, awesome. Love this dude. The problem was for Andre Dillard, and we'll get into my pre-draft write-up for him. We've been doing this so long, I have pre-draft write-ups on guys going into their sixth season. He never learned to run block. And that was the issue, was like, okay, he can do the hard stuff well, pass protection, slide, kick slide, all this stuff. He just never learned or practiced how to run block in his career, his college career. So he gets to the NFL, and everybody's like, oh, this would be easy. It was not easy, and it struggled, and it cost him his job at not one, but two places. Now, back to his athleticism real quick. Sorry, I'm skipping over my notes. The athletic comps for him, Garrett Bowles, Joe Haig, Tom Compton. Yeah, Tom Compton. David Kessenberry, Dalton Reiser. You're talking athletes of athletes of athletes. That is huge. Now, he's a Washington born and raised kid, went to Woodinville High School. His father played for Washington State. He chose to go to Washington State. You know, his dad was an offensive lineman from 1983 to 1986. And Andre Dillard was a four-star recruit. He could have went anywhere. He chose to follow in his dad's footsteps. Love that. Played 39 out of 42 games at college. Was just a staple of what they do there. Bachelor's degree in social science. Was a first-round pick by the Eagles, number 22 overall. They eventually declined his fifth-year option, and he moved on. He signed a big contract, three-year, $30 million deal with the Titans. He didn't even start a game. It just didn't work out. He wasn't tough enough in the run blocking, and you know they're trying to do the aggressive run attack at that time. Just didn't fit, and so he didn't even start. They cut him loose after 1 year. Well, not a lot of guaranteed money. I think he ended up getting $7 million out of that, but it wasn't a catastrophic failure. But they were hoping, the Titans were hoping, this is going to be our left tackle. It didn't even start one game. Like, just not a fit. He needs to be in the zone style scheme. And so then he goes to Green Bay, kind of a backup player, played a little bit, not too much, no starts, but he was just a backup kind of swing tackle. And I think that's his role. I don't think that's a bad role, but I think that's what he should be. Now, for the 49ers, when you have Trent Williams, you have to have a swing tackle because Trent's going to miss time. He doesn't practice on Wednesdays all year long. You got to play there. Jalen Moore just went and got $15 million a year for the Chiefs. Got to replace that. I love this signing, Andre Dillard. I really, really do. And even though he's bounced around, he has enough experience. He's played 69 games in his career. 43 with the Eagles, 10 games played with the Titans, 2 games played last year with the Packers. Like, yeah. He's got experience. Now, here's my pre-draft write-up. And, man, y'all judged the heck out of me for this. This is before he was drafted by anybody. Super smooth and athletic. Giving up 1 sack, 15 pressures, but 25 penalties. Penalties have been a problem for him this in the NFL as well. Pure pass protector that will struggle in a physical run game. Like, come on, Titans, why didn't you read my draft write-up? Despite being more of a finesse tackle, doesn't struggle versus the bull rush, three-year full-time starter. If he locks on with his hands, it's over. Specializes on getting his hands inside the breastplate. Very quick and excellent in the pull screen game. One of the fastest and short shuttles ever for an offensive tackle. Now, this was the thing. Never really run blocked in his college career. The scheme did not call for it. Everything was a pass set. This is Mike Leach, who I love, but there's some issues with it. Most susceptible to speed power rush combo. Think Khalil Mack. Kick slide needs some help. It's closer to a hop. Saw this at the combine as well. Smooth, smooth, smooth. Athletic, athletic, athletic. And just never panned out. Never panned out. And the fact that he went to the Eagles and Jeff Stoutland, who's the best offensive line coach maybe in the history of the NFL, like definitely the past 2 decades, you can't survive there. You can't thrive there. There's an issue. Now, the athleticism is more on par with Green Bay, where he was last year, and the 49ers. They both run that outside zone. That's where he should be. Tennessee was a bad pairing from the start. I thought it was stupid, but whatever. What do I know? He's had a lot of injuries. This is a problem too, Andre Dillard. Torn bicep in 2020, missed the entire season. Knee injury in 2021, knee injury in 2022, missed both those games. Fractured his forearm in 2022, missed those games. You're stacking injuries and lower body injuries. That's a problem. That is a problem for big players like Andre Dillard. You're 6'5", 315. You can't have all these injuries on your lower body. It's going to affect what you do. The 49ers signed him May 9th, 2025, a 1 year, $1.25 million deal, $315,000 guaranteed. Not enough to, like, he has to make the roster or anything like that. But, again, remember, this offseason, Jed York, no guaranteed money going out. Like, unless it was, you know, for the extensions to keep superstars in place. But you look at free agency, you look at undrafted free agents, not a lot of guaranteed money going out the door. So, it's not enough to say Andre Dillard is, in fact, making this roster, but it is something to note. Career earnings for Andre Dillard? Man, it's good to be a first-round pick. $23.9 million. This dude has made some scratch, Hopefully he's still got some passion and some wherewithal to want to keep playing. Signed a one-year $1.25 million deal, so see what that is. You come play for the 49ers, rebound your career, then go sign somewhere else for a long-term deal in a zone scheme. That's where he should be. 19 career starts, played in 69 games, and again, last year played 63 snaps. That's it. Now, let's look at his kind of pro football focus metrics throughout his career. Let's track this, okay? 2019, his rookie year, 59.7 overall score, bad. 59.2 pass rush grade, bad. 58.2 run grade, bad. 2020, tears his bicep, doesn't play at all. 2021, maybe his best year, 69.6 overall, good. 71.7 pass, good. 65.4 run, all right. Like, not bad. That's the tackle position in the NFL is one of the lowest quality positions across the NFL. There's just a void of talent there. There's not 64 quality starting NFL tackles. Now, this was a first-round pick, but that's deceptive. Like, you can play with that. 2022, huge step back. 58.3 overall grade, not good. Dominated in the past. This is kind of what I projected him to be. 84.7 pass grade, pass blocking grade. That's huge, but a 55 run grade. Can't block in the run game. They move on from him. Then he goes to the Titans. 51 overall grade, 47.4 pass, bad. 56.6 run, bad. Last year, even though it's only like 63 snaps, I understand that. Finally in a scheme that fits his skill set, 72.7 overall, good. 75 pass, good. 72.7 run, good. If you could get those numbers for the 49ers this year and the three or four starts that Trent Williams is probably going to miss, man, sign me up right now. I'd pay $4 million a year for that, fully guaranteed. You don't know if you're going to get that. Again, he only played 50 offensive snaps last year. So you're taking a very small sample size, but you're saying he finally is in a scheme that fits his strengths. We run that same scheme, the 49ers. Therefore, it should translate, and I hope that it does. Now, it's weird that he hasn't been around. He hasn't been seen. He hasn't been out there on the field. Hasn't been staying on the sidelines. Don't know what that's about. Hopefully he shows up at some point for camp. But you look at the offensive tackle depth chart. Your starters are clear-cut. Trent Williams, Colton McKivitz. That's not up for debate. The backups through minicamp and OTA, Spencer Burford playing left tackle. Austin Pleasant's playing backup right tackle. You've got Sebastian Gutierrez, who was an undrafted free agent last year. He's a tackle guard combo. And Andre Dillard. I think Dillard and Spencer Burford are fighting for that swing tackle spot. And Burford, with his versatility, I think he's making this 53, whether you want him as a backup guard, right tackle, left tackle, he can play it all. Andre Dillard would just be a swing tackle. Now you have Isaac Alarcon, who's on the International Pathway Program and suspended. I don't think that he figures into this conversation, but somebody from Spencer Burford, Austin Pleasant, who a lot of people, Larry Kruger talks about all the time, love what he brings. The upside is there. But Andre Dillard is somebody with experience, 69 games played, former first-round pedigree. That's who I want coming off the bench. At both tackle spots, not even just left tackle. Left tackle, right. I want Andre Dillard being that veteran, experienced presence that can come out and just do his job. Is he amazing? No. Is he frustrating? Yes. That's the NFL. There are not quality tackles out there to be had as backups. Look what the Chiefs just paid $15 million for Jalen Moore. That's kind of where you're at. I hope that he shows up. I hope that he stays healthy and has passion to play after making all this money in his career. Does he have the passion to play for $1 million this season? We'll see. He's 29 years old. If he does, and if he performs well, you can get paid and have one more big contract, you know, at 30 years old next offseason, get a two-year deal for, I don't know, $20 million. That's kind of the ceiling if he can prove he can flourish in this zone scheme. 49ers are going to need him at some point. I really hope he shows out. He comes in 52 on our 49ers roster countdown. I want to say thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, executive producers of this show. And for us and the 49ers Rush team, we're going to keep counting them down.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just Fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors. Help out his podcast. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com and get started today. You know, whenever I meet new people and, you know, the conversation always alludes to eventually like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And you know, I'm always very reluctant to kind of say what I say, and I just, I do like a podcast, whatever. Eventually, if they want to keep talking, then I let them know football, 49ers, whatever else. And it's always one of two responses. The first one is, oh, you paid for that? Like, people actually watch that? And then the other one is kind of the more old school, you know, depending on the age of the person I've talked to. And you'll get this response like, I used to love football. Now I feel like it's like getting closer to this flag football, whatever else. I like seeing the big hits and all those things, and I hate that that's out of the game. Well, to those people, and if you are one of those, today's countdown on the 49ers Rush countdown, Tatum Bethune is the definition of old school football player, mean, hard thumper, hard hitter, knockout, whatever you want to say. He's a throwback, and watching him play is absolutely fascinating. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't have flaws in his play, and we'll detail that. He comes in number 51 on our roster countdown, Tatum Bethune, linebacker, special teamer. Last year, his rookie year, he was 61. So that's a plus 10 jump, solid for a 7th-round pick. You know, probably about 40% of 7th-round picks don't even make the roster. So not only is he around, but he's climbing. So that's positive. The biggest negative and kind of why he's not earned a starting role is lack of coverage. He doesn't cover very well. He's a stop-the-run type of a guy. And number two, he wasn't a Robert Saleh pick. Or the new defensive coordinator or the returning defensive coordinator, however you want to call it, Robert Saleh, was not around to pick Tatum Bethune. And not only that, he has added not one, not two, not three, but 4 new linebackers since he showed up. So the competition has stiffened, and Tatum Bethune has a ways to go. Now, fun player, wears jersey number 48, and you see him. I mean, he shows up 6 foot 229, 32-inch arms. He's only 24 years old, 4.7-yard, 40-yard dash. That's probably the reason why he fell to the 7th round. Lack of height, lack of length, lack of speed. And it shows up in special teams where he's not a great space player. He's great in between the tackles fulfilling the run. So Robert Saleh has a type at linebacker, and it's undersized. You got to be able to fly around. The 4.77 is a little bit rough. But his 3-cone, 7-flat is awesome. So change of direction's good. You just don't want a lot of space for him. 30-inch vertical, solid, 9.7 broad jump, okay. 16 bench press reps. All right, now listen to these comps. You plug in Tatum Bethune's measurables into mock draftable. Azeez Alshire, the first one that pulls up with a 90% match. Hardy Nickerson, baby. We're talking old school. And Dat Nguyen. Like, not only does the play style match these just, I don't want to call them relics. Maybe it's coming back, but just like, dude, you think Dat Nguyen? I hate Texas A&M and the Cowboys more than any two organizations in the world. Dat Nguyen puts a smile on my face, man. You see the old cowboy collar and all that stuff. Like, that's badass. And so you get Tatum Bethune, and it's like, man, what if this guy, and you get in these conversations too, like, well, the old school players were different than now, and, you know, it's just different. We're getting to see live in action what it would look like for a 1980s, 1990s linebacker in today's modern game with Tatum Bethune. Can it translate? It hasn't yet. The story's not written. He's only going into his second season, and he only got one start. So can he grow into that? Well, let's learn about the person that is Tatum Bethune and try to understand how he's going to fit in this year. He's a Miami Florida guy. Went to Miami Central High School. Love it. They put out a lot of talent. He goes to college at UCF. He was there for 3 seasons, then transferred to Florida State for 2 seasons. And kind of fun while he was at UCF playing linebacker, Central Florida. He was teammates with another 49ers player we just covered, Kalia Davis. Actually played linebacker together before Kalia Davis, you know, got moved down to defensive tackle, but they were on the same defense that was there, and now they're teammates again. And he was teammates with other Florida State players as well, like Renardo Green. So he's got some familiar faces in the room with him. Born and raised in Miami, Florida. Both, and education is a big deal to the Tatum Bethune family. If you recognize the last name, you are exactly right. Like, he is part of the great Bethune's, Mary McLeod Bethune, who's one of the greatest human beings to grace this planet, is his great-great-great aunt who founded Bethune-Cookman University. And so education is everything, and women's rights and all those different things that she fought for and stood for. If you don't know anything about her, go learn, please. Just do a quick Google search and read as much as you can. Amazing human being, makes you want to be a better person. But then you look at his parents. Both of his parents are educators. Dad played at Florida A&M. Oh, I like that. Some of the coolest uniforms in the world. And so that's there. Plus, you look at what Tatum did academically, all ACC academic team. Bobby Bowden Leadership Award while at Florida State. That's huge. So you've got a lot of this education. And, man, you talk about old school players. Well, where does he fit? He was asked, who does he model his game after when he was drafted? And sure enough, he said, Dre Greenlaw was my favorite 49er. I'm still a little bitter he's gone, but that's okay. Tatum said, quote, Dre's a dog out there. The way he hits, the way he reads plays, that's who I want to be like. It's pushing me every day. Love to hear that. And if you want to go watch, I mean, you can literally just type in Tatum Bethune, Jaden Daniels. You don't have to put anything else. One of the hardest hits you'll ever see in college football, and that's against Jaden Daniels. You know, offensive rookie of the year, all those things. Just destroyed this man. And, you know, he lasted long in the draft. Lack of speed, lack of size. We talked about those things. He's on the phone with different NFL teams, you know, late day three of his draft, talking about undrafted free agents, you know, contracts, all that kind of stuff. Whenever he gets a call, it sure enough gets drafted by the 49ers, which is awesome at the end of the seventh round. I think only 4 more players went after him. Pretty close to a Mr., you know, a relevant story. But, you know, Johnny Holland's kind of taken him under his wing, admitted to having amazing conversations with Johnny Holland about life, football, all those things. Friends with Renardo Green. They grew up, they lived in the same apartment complex right next to each other while they were at Florida State. So that's huge in and of itself. Gets recruited, you know, all those things, earned Dean's List at UCF, academic all ACC, intelligence. And, you know, even when Fred Warner was asked about him, you know, once in minicamp, Fred Warner said, quote, Tatum brings a spark. You can tell he loves football. He's always asking questions, trying to learn. You see it in how he attacks every rep. He's going to be a good one, end quote. What is John Lynch anytime you hear him talk about players, especially the draft process and undrafted free agents, do they love football? Do they have high character? If they have those things, everything else, the measurables, the scheme fit, and all that has to fall in line. But if they don't have the love of football, if they can't, if the 49ers can't find it, and if they don't have high character, 49ers are not interested. Tatum Bethune checks every damn box. The question, or maybe the only box he might not check, can he cover, can he play in this scheme? That is what has to be found out. Not too sure. And, you know, we haven't seen it yet. He gets drafted seventh round of the 2024 draft, played last year's rookie year, 251st pick, you know, late. Now, seven tackles, two fumbles recovered, which is awesome, played 11 games, one start. You look at just the snaps last year for the 49ers, played 216 snaps. Most of those were on special teams, about 160 of them. Not good on special teams, by the way. He finished special teams with a 53 grade. Not good. One of the punts blocked against us was partially his fault, more of DFF, but that's okay. Releases guys across his face and punt protection all season. John Snyder doesn't coach anybody, so don't ever expect anybody to grow in that area. Poor tackling in space. One penalty, two tackles, one missed tackle. Just not good. Not great. Injuries were an issue as well. You know, and he had an arm injury, forced him to miss his bowl game in college. Then he gets a sprained MCL week 11 in the Seattle game, missed the next five games after that. But here's the good news, came back and played the last two games of the season, including a 59 snap week, week 18, where he started and basically played every single defensive snap. Played fairly well. Not great, not awful. You look at his PFF scores defensively on his rookie year, 72.9 defense. That's solid. 57.5 run. That's what's crazy is he's a positive run player. Now, we're looking at a very small sample size and all that, a little over 60 snaps, but for his lowest grade to be in the run, that's weird because that's his specialty. 57 tackling grade, 66 pass rush. Only had one play where he rushed the passer. A 76.4 coverage grade, though. So that is huge because you go back to training camp, preseason. This dude's getting dusted in every single one-on-one, 7-on-7 pass skill. Dude's not even in the ballpark of coverage. His head was spinning, and it was very obvious, you know, at those practices, like, okay, Tatum Bethune's not ready for this. Like, this is going to be a developmental year because, man, he's killing people in the run game. It's just, man, in today's NFL, if you can't cover, you can't play linebacker, especially for the 49ers in this zone scheme. So he's got growth. Now, again, the last time we saw him, week 18 against Arizona, dude had a 76 coverage grade. That's pretty damn good. You can keep doing that. And if he starts this mini camp, this training camp on that level and can translate that from where he went last year, that's huge. That's gigantic. And he will be on this roster. I think he will make this roster regardless. But look at his deal. He's still on his rookie year, second year. Signed a four-year, $4.1 million deal, $81,000 signing bonus. He has just under $1 million cap hit for this season. Career earnings after a rookie year, $786,000. Has not hit the million number yet, but will soon. If he makes the roster, he will. Makes that 53-man roster, I think he will. So linebacker depth, it's tough. Will the Niners keep five? Will they keep six? Well, I think there's four locks. Fred Warner, obviously. Nick Martin, third-round pick. D. Winters, he's making it. And Luke Gifford, who's kind of your new DFF. He's primarily a special teams player, but almost $2 million guaranteed this year. And again, remember, Niners didn't give out a lot of guaranteed money, so that speaks volumes. He will make this roster as a special teamer. Where he figures into the linebacker rotation, we'll see. But that's four spots. That means there's one or two spots left. Now, Curtis Robinson probably going to be on the PUP, so he's not going to be factored into that early on. So you've got Tatum Bethune, Stone Blanton, undrafted free agent, who I love, Chaz Surratt, who is a 100% Robert Saleh passion project, one of his favorite players. And then Jalen Graham, I think, is big time on the outside looking in. We'll see what he can do. But yeah, do you go with the full-time special teamer in Chaz Surratt? Do you go with the special teamer linebacker in Stone Blanton? Or do you go with the high upside linebacker that can stop the run, Tatum Bethune? Consistency, where you can apply yourself and what that looks like, I think that's going to be huge. But if you're looking for somebody to fill Dre Greenlaw's kind of, you know, regulator mindset, regulators, right? Like, let's go Young Guns. It's got to be Tatum Bethune. Like, that's him. As good as D. Winters is, the athleticism and all that stuff, and Nick Martin, amazing tackler, all that stuff. None of those guys can legitimately commit manslaughter on the field in a good way, if that is. Sorry, I don't like the way this is going. Tatum Bethune's the killer. Like, that's who he is. He's the imposer. He's the Mike Tyson on the field. There's not another one of these. There's not. Not on this roster. So if you want that anger, that violence, that old school throwback knockout punch dude, Tatum Bethune is the guy you're pulling for. Number 48. Can he cover? Can he be more consistent on special teams? Year two is going to be huge for him. I think he makes this roster. I really do. The question is, does Stone Blanton or Chaz Surratt get on there as well? Man, this is fun. I like talking Tatum Bethune. He's one of the guys I'm most excited to see out there. Thank you, Josh, executive producer of this episode, Ben and Zach as well for the series. And for us of the 49ers Rush team, count them down. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. As we break into the top 50 of the 49ers roster countdown, we have a draft pick, baby. Connor Colby. The 49ers have a type. There is no doubt about that, especially whenever you're looking at interior offensive linemen, which Connor Colby is going to be guard for the 49ers. You look at his measurables, his two top comps are Nick Zekiel, who is currently on the 49ers roster, and Jared Kingston, who they drafted late in the draft last year at the exact same positions. Like, they have a cookie cutter mold that they want at the guard position. Now, here's the flip side and negative to that. They have a major roster construction issue because they have drafted so many guards and have signed so many guards. There's no way to keep them all. In fact, you look at Jared Kingston, who's played really, really good football. They thought that they could cut and bring back. Didn't work. Somebody snatched him, and now he's gone. And you kept him over the, you know, you chose to keep Ambry Thomas. You chose to keep, I don't want to go through all the names, but a lot of major roster construction issues by the 49ers last year. Could have just kept Jared Kingston, redshirted him, and he'd have a year under his belt and you'd be happy, but that's not where the Niners are. So what do? They basically go and recycle another late-round pick on a Jared Kingston clone in Connor Colby. And so you're hoping, and I think as we go through this, you're going to kind of see the dilemma that they're still in. How the hell do you get this guy on the 53-man roster at cutdown? Because you only keep eight guys, and it's going to be difficult again. So the exact same space you were in last year at 53-man cutdowns, and you chose to let go of Jared Kingston, I feel like it's just Groundhog Day. So I love Connor Colby. You know, I had a fifth-round grade on him. 49ers took him the seventh round, and you go through how he fits this 49ers. Yeah, he fits it to a T. The question is, man, who are you going to cut or waive or who he's going to beat out to get in that spot to make the 53. Well, that's why we have training camp. That's why we have preseason. That's why we still got a lot of football. So let's, even though the 49ers have a type and a roster construction issue and how you're going to keep them again after wasting a late round pick on a guard last year to develop for somebody else, they're right there again. Connor Colby wears jersey number 75, 6'6", 309. Elite build for a guard. And yeah, 32-inch arms, which probably going to keep him inside. You know, he played tackle. How many games did he play at tackle? He had six starts at right tackle in his career at Iowa, which is, you know, an O-line farmhouse for the NFL. But I do believe he's going to be a guard-only prospect his rookie year. Possibly could flex into tackle, maybe center, whatever. But The 49ers are notorious. You're playing guard or guard only. You're playing tackle or tackle only. Your rookie early years with the Niners, and then maybe he can develop into something else. He's 22 years old, ran a 5.1 40-yard dash. That's top 79th percentile of offensive linemen. 178, 10-yard, okay. 7.7, 3-cone, okay. His short shuttle was good, 70th percentile. 28.5-inch vertical, okay. 9.2 broad jump, okay. 23 bench press reps, awesome. Now, again, you look at the comps and you enter all this information. 90 percentile match with Nick Zakel, 85 percentile with Jared Kingston. Boy, do they have a type. He grew up in Iowa, went to Cedar Rapids Kennedy High School, then chose to go to Iowa, which, you know, he was a four-star recruit. He was a big-time recruit that had lots of choices, and why not go to the Ferentz scheme whenever your lateral ability is what it is and all that stuff, working the outside zone. And, you know, that's another thing that you have to plug away as a huge positive when you're talking about Connor Colby and the 49ers. It's a perfect fit. You know, we graded 340 players 1 to 10 on a 49ers fit scale. Connor Colby had a 9. He had a 9, and that's before we drafted him. It probably could have been 10, but, man, this is just an absolute fit. He's an Iowa kid through and through, tough as nails throughout his whole football. Hasn't had any injuries. Now, he's played through bang-ups and all that stuff. Hasn't missed a game. Hasn't missed a game. And this is a guy, Connor Colby, that started as a freshman on the offensive line at Iowa. That is, to say rare, is an understatement. This guy voted team captain as a senior. Third team All-Big Ten in 2023. First team All-Big Ten in 2024. He's got the pelts on the wall. He has done it. Recreational management major. Just a rugged guy that fits the 49ers mentality. Fits the athletic profile, fits the size. He's played in the scheme. He's got experience. He's played all over the place. 37 starts at right guard, 6 starts at right tackle, 6 starts at left guard, 2,700 plus snaps. Like, you got it all. You really, really do. So then the question is, why did he fall to the 7th round? Well, pass protection's not his strong suit. Not that he's bad. He's not bad. But it's the run game that got him drafted in the first place. Here's our film write-up before the Niners drafted him. Speed, experience, perfect zone fit. Short area quickness, A+. I was actually shocked by his testing. I thought he was going to test better in the short shuttle, the 10-yard, all those things. But the film shows A+. Gets to the second level consistently. Anchor is good, not great. Great combo blocker and gets movement when he needs to. One of the more athletic guards in this class. Again, testing did not verify that. Love that he has so much experience in zone scheme already. Needs more consistency in pass pro. He does give up some hits. He does give up some sacks. Just in 2024 alone, 2 sacks allowed, 2 quarterback hits allowed, 6 hurries. Not the end of the world, but you would like better numbers from your offensive linemen and quarterback hits, especially whenever you watch Iowa tape and they run the ball almost exclusively. They're kind of like the 49ers where they're running the ball so stinking much. Why are you giving up so many quarterback hits and sacks? 2-2 doesn't sound awful, but it's kind of been a thing throughout his career. He's given up 7 sacks in his career, 15 quarterback hits. You would like that number to be a little bit smaller. But when you look at the caveat is this, 2,700 plus snaps. Most of those run blocking, but pass protection is the issue. A little slow redirecting and recovery doesn't match his athleticism. That is a major check mark or X mark on guard tape. He can move laterally, and you ask him to reach. You know, he's a guard, and you're trying to get him to reach that 4-eye or that 5 technique on the outside or scoop block on the inside, a shade on the center. He can do that. The quick shift against stunts and blitzes where you go to pass protect to the inside A gap and then you got to quickly readjust to the B gap, that's his flaw. That's the issue. And in today's NFL, there is more stunting and line slants and all that stuff going on than at any point in the history of the NFL. So if you ask me why Connor Colby fell to the 7th and why, if this pick doesn't work out, why, this is why. That quick, sudden redirect versus stunts, blitzes, and kind of combos, all that kind of stuff. That's what needs to change. Now, his PFF scores. You go back to his 2022 tape. Had a 63 grade. Go back to 2023, a 71 grade. This year in 2024, had a 77 grade. Not bad at all. And so you're seeing the uptick, 63 to a 71 to a 77. That's growth. Pass block grade, 68. True pass set grade, 42. That's the flaw, right? He's a run blocker. Run block grade, 77. Zone grade, 80. Inside gap grade, 64. His PFF rank was 123 overall. He was drafted in the seventh round, pick 33. So PFF was much higher on him. He was their fourth-rated guard. If you look at mock draftable, they had him ranked 147, and he was as high as 114. And so for somebody that went all the way at the back end of the seventh round in the late 200s, he fell a lot. Our rating on him, experience out of a 10 scale, got an 8. Versatility, 9. He started both guard spots and tackle. Speed, 6. Acceleration, 7. Now, if you're looking for his athletic comps, it's, you know, what we already went over. Nick Sakell, Daniel Kilgore. But the play style, that's, man, it's Jared Kingston. That's what he is, but not as good in pass pro. Not as good in pass pro. We had a fifth round grade on him and a 9 out of 10 on the 49ers fit scale, which is awesome. No injuries. Tough as hell. Gets drafted in the seventh round, signed a four-year, $4.3 million deal for Connor Colby with $101,000 signing bonus. That's nice. He's going to get paid. Most of rookie contracts are pretty much guaranteed, so he's going to make some money. 52 games played in college, 52 starts in college. That's so badass. 807 snaps last year, 65 on special teams. Most of those are field goal and extra point. That's about all he'll do on special teams if he makes the chart. Now, this is the biggest red flag. The guard depth chart. There's a lot of bodies, okay? Dominique Pooney and Ben Barch are your starters. They took almost all the one reps throughout minicamp and OTA. Just expect that. Backups, Nick Sakell, Spencer Burford, who's an outside-inside, versatile, kind of can play them all. Connor Colby, Drew Moss, you paid some money to as an undrafted free agent, and it's pretty solid. And then Zach Johnson. That's a lot of bodies. Now, you got to keep in mind, Matt Hennessy, the backup center, is just a center only. He can play guard, but I think they're just going to press him at center. You're keeping a swing tackle no matter what. So if you're going to keep one tackle, you're going to keep one center and Matt Hennessy, you're talking you're going to keep 8 offensive linemen. That means there's one guard guy. Nick Sakell, you got to remember, last year at 160 snaps last year during the season, Nick Sakell had a top 10 pass blocking grade for the entire offensive line in the NFL. Like, I was so upset that we kept going back to Aaron Banks last year. You know, he kept getting injured. Nick Sakell steps in better. Spencer Burford steps in better. Ben Barch steps in better. And they just kept giving the job back to back to Aaron Banks. And I like Aaron Banks, but all three of those guys outplayed him last year. And Chris Forster's going to play favorites. It's not a meritocracy with him. Just look at Jake Brendel. It's frustrating. But there's no way you can keep two guard-only prospects in Nick Sakell and Connor Colby. You see what I'm saying? Like, how we started this? Like, Connor Colby's going to have to, one, you've got to have Spencer Burford be a tackle. You got to hope Spencer Burford beats out, you know, Andre Dillard. And then you've got to hope Connor Colby beats out Nick Sakell, which is no small feat. He's been on this roster for 3 years. Brock Purdy's former roommate, they love him. He has taken some center snaps, so he has a little more versatility than Connor Colby. Like, it's just Jared Kingston 2.0 on this roster. I hate to say it, nobody's ever rooting on injuries, and I don't think Connor Colby is either. But it's pretty damn hard to find a way for Connor Colby to make this roster outside of injuries. I just don't see it. Dillard, Burford, no way. Might keep two tackles, and if you do that, maybe Matt Hennessy's not kept, and if that's the case, yikes. There is a very tough, and it's almost like a maze, to find a blueprint for Connor Colby to make this roster. You got to hope Spencer Burford wins the swing tackle job over Dillard. They cut Dillard. You got to hope Connor Colby beats out Nick Sakell, and you got to hope that maybe, just maybe, the 49ers keep 8 to 9 offensive linemen. Otherwise, he's going to get waived, and the 49ers going to lose another late-round offensive line pick, and that's just so frustrating. Connor Colby can play. He fits. He's got experience. He's got upside. He's got athleticism. I want him to be part of this 53-man roster, and he's number 50 on our list. gosh, man, I really, really hope the 49ers learn their lesson and don't get too smart and too cute with the IR spots and who we're keeping and who we're not keeping. Keep Connor Colby. Keep your damn draft picks. Develop them. Imagine if we had Jared Kingston left over from last year. That'd be gigantic. Don't make the same mistakes you made in the past. Learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. Keep this dude. Find a way. Find a way. Thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, executive producers of this series. And Connor Colby, man, I hope you're around and on this list next year. I want him to get some snaps. I want him to get some starts because he's just too damn good a fit. I'm going to be really upset if he does not make this 53-man initial roster. But for us in the 49ers Rush team, we're going to keep counting him down.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.